Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ruth Egger. I am the president of the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division. This is our first ever National Federation of the Blind Live the Life You Want virtual retreat, and we're honored to have you with us this afternoon. We are about 59 people who have signed up for this retreat from 20 different states, so we're across the country, and we hope that you will find the retreat exciting, empowering, enjoyable, and that you'll learn lots of new things, meet new people, and be more comfortable with the fact that you are losing vision. Some of you are really new to the National Federation of the Blind, so I just want to spend a minute or two talking about the National Federation of the Blind. We are a consumer-based organization, and we are in 50 states and the District of Columbia and in Puerto Rico, where we have affiliates. These are blind men and women who come together and who work collectively for political action, for support of one another, for legislation, for legal affairs. And so we come together to work collectively to empower each other and for the purpose of improving the lives of blind people throughout this country. And sometimes we have a certain effect, certainly for other people in other countries as well. So this retreat is sort of a reflection of that philosophy. We understand that as we grow older, many times the rehabilitation system is not really geared in many ways to provide the type of education and training and skill levels that we need and help us build our self-confidence again and regain our independence in a way that we might like to do. And so we in the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division said, what can we do about this? So we created having in-person retreats a few years ago. And this year, of course, with the pandemic, we're not really able to do that. We didn't want to stop the retreat idea, so we have gone virtual this afternoon and this coming week. And so I suppose this is our exploratory learning mode that we are developing, and we'll learn from you, and hopefully you'll learn from us, and we'll decide what really works and maybe some things that we certainly can improve upon. But I am delighted and honored that you're here this afternoon and that you'll be with us throughout the week. We have divided the retreat up into different sections. Some people have asked me, are we going to repeat classes during the week? And the answer is no. Even though the class may have the same title, like technology or cane travel, there'll be a different aspect and different teaching each day that will build upon the class that went the day before. So none of the classes will be a repeat from something that was previously scheduled and held. Each class will be a new session with new information and new instructors and leaders to guide you through learning. Right now, you're all on mute, and this will basically be the pattern that we will have. What we will do, depending on the lead instructors that you have in the sessions, they'll determine if they would like to have questions at the end of the scheduled time that they have. If they can do that, we can open the mute system so that people can raise their hand and you can ask questions. Tomorrow, through Monday through Friday, we'll begin at noon Eastern time, 11 o'clock Central, 10 Mountain, and 9 Pacific time with cane travel each day. The class will go for 1 hour. The next class we'll follow will be hobbies. I think this class can be a very interesting class. We have Robert Newman is our lead instructor, and he has found many different people to talk about all different kinds of hobbies and interests that people have and how they pursue them despite living with their vision loss. Then the next hour, the third hour, is our break time. And this is when we will first take questions from people who have them over the material that we covered previously. And then we can open up the, or unmute everybody, and people can have discussions and after the question period is over. Again, then at 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Mountain, and 12 Pacific time, we'll have the second afternoon session, which will begin with technology, and they will be followed by a class that will vary each day. Sometimes it will deal with daily living skills. Sometimes it will deal with organizational skills. Sometimes it will deal with the philosophy of how we see ourselves as blind people and how we integrate and live in the society around us. Then on Saturday, we'll have a wrap-up session, and this is where we can, again, make any conclusions and discuss anything that we might, that you might be interested in that we weren't able to cover. Or hopefully some of you during the week will hear things that spark your interest and you'll say, I'm going to try that. So we want to hear about the successes that you have and the things that you've learned and what you might be trying out in your location, in your environments, wherever you happen to live. So we hope that this format will be helpful to you and that we can cover quite a bit of material. We can't do everything, and so we have had to make some decisions, of course, on how to cover and what we can do. And for some of you, it will be maybe a repeat or things that you've heard before, but someone may say something in a different way, or you may be in a different place with your vision loss, and some of the things that you've heard in the past might make more sense to you today than they did when you might have first heard them. So we're hoping that you will take this retreat with an open mind and share what you learn with your colleagues and friends. What you learn may be helpful to a friend you know or someone you meet along the way who is also living with their vision loss. I want to thank all of our volunteers. We've had so many people volunteering, our Zoom host, co-host, our instructors, the speakers that you'll hear presenting during the week, and many other people who are helping in many different ways. Some of you have signed up for Braille classes. The Braille classes are going to be taught differently than the rest of the retreat. If you did sign up for Braille, and it really is beginning Braille, most of you should have received some Braille pages in the mail, and you have been assigned an instructor to work with you, and that instructor will contact you, and the two of you will determine the best time and way for you to work with that instructor. So it won't necessarily be done during the same time frame as the retreat. It'll be when you and your instructor can work together. I know a few of you have not yet received your Braille sheets, and we are working on that. And some of you need different types of material than just the beginning Braille. So we've had some conversations about how to pursue your continuing learning of Braille in that way. We hope that you will also, during the break session, chat with one another and meet people and answer your own questions, because as you go through life with your vision loss, you have learned many things yourselves and have different experiences. So some of the retreat will be talking about how we deal with each other, how we deal with the general public, how we may deal with family members or friends, because they're also on the journey with you as you lose vision, but they're not in the same place that you are, as they are your colleagues and friends and family members, and they want to be helpful, and sometimes they don't know how to be helpful to you. But the more knowledge and the more comfort you have with your vision loss, you'll be able to direct and guide those people to give you the kind of help that you need so that you can have more control of what happens to you. We hope that you'll find knowledge, that you'll find some skill techniques during this retreat, and that you'll, again, maybe try some things that you haven't thought that you could do before. Sometimes it may be something more complicated with technology, but it might be something to do with cane travel, how you might travel in your neighborhood, or it could maybe be that you're going to make something at home that you didn't think that you could prepare, or how you go about shopping for groceries and those kinds of things. So whatever you can glean from the retreat, we hope that you will be able to share that information with others, and that you will also be helpful to working with us and telling us what we can do to make the learning process better for the next retreats that we hopefully will have. Some of you are very familiar with the National Federation of the Blind, so this material is maybe not as new to you as you might like think, but it sometimes is helpful just to hear other people share the knowledge they have, because in hearing someone else speak about their experiences and the information that they have gleaned, it can reaffirm to you that what you're doing is good and helpful to you, and that your methods are really sane, that they really do work, and that that you are on the right track of keeping yourself independent, that you're engaged in the things that interest you that you want to be doing. So we want to keep learning because that helps us live better. And we want to be able to continue to do that no matter what age we are and where we are. Maybe the pandemic has been somewhat instrumental in helping us do that because we've all had to make adaptations of some kind just to live today in the world that we have. And the techniques that we're showing you are going to be things that anybody really could use. So they're not always geared toward vision, what the vision you have or do not have. And we use the word blind in the National Federation of the Blind. And we do that deliberately because blindness is the lack of sight. Now, most blind people, probably 95 to 98% of all blind people have some vision, but the vision may not necessarily be as useful as, so that we need to make adaptations on how we live and the way we learn and the way that we actually think of ourselves. So the National Federation of the Blind really feels that once we can use the word blind, it takes away the degree of vision that we have or don't have. And that probably fluctuates many times, the eye conditions that we have. One of the things that happens to most people as they begin to lose vision is their depth perception declines radically. And so they may see some things in their environment but miss other items in the environment. And then it's easy to have an accident or feel very uncomfortable because you know you're not seeing the distance, the proper distancing or the details that you used to have. So this retreat can give you these techniques to help you be aware of those instances when your visual perception is really not going to be able to guide you and give you the information that you would have had if you had full sight. Maybe another way to look at this is for a basic definition of legal blindness, one of the questions that you're often asked is, are you legally blind? And what that, there's a definition of legal blindness, and that means that if you are considered legally blind, then you qualify for services and products that that blind people use. And what it means in a very loose sense is that you've lost 90% of your vision and you have 10% of your vision or less. So if you think about, you've got 10 fingers, and if you were to lose 9 of them, you know, you would really have to figure out some new skills and techniques on how to use that one finger. Even if you lost one finger, most likely you're going to have to decide how to pick things up and move things, and because we do everything with our hands, maybe 2 fingers even. So that there are ways to develop your other senses sometimes, or to be aware of your environment in different ways than you had thought of. And you'll hear about some of these when we talk about cane travel, or we talk about in the kitchen and things like that. We'll hear methods that people will describe, and sometimes they will be how something sounds or how it feels. And so these techniques can really enhance anyone's life. But when your vision is declining, it also probably for most people means it's not the same. So one day you might see something fairly well, and maybe the next day you don't. And that can cause you to kind of panic a little bit and say, oh my gosh, yesterday I saw that. Today I don't know. What about tomorrow? And I hope the retreat can give you some guidance so that emotionally you won't be on such a roller coaster, that you'll be able to take a few deep breaths and think, okay, there are some solutions here, or there are people that I can call, people I've met that I can call, that I can get some help from. And sometimes it is just talking to another person. And like I said, in the National Federation of the Blind, we're in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. So you've got colleagues across the country who can help you locally and give you information and encouragement and give you the support to help you move ahead and live the life that you want to do. Sometimes just talking to another person can really be helpful. I wrote some notes to myself here. I've got to get them. The National Federation of the Blind also does produce a huge amount of literature on blindness. And so you could call the national office, which is here in Baltimore, and find out about some of the literature that they produce and be able to learn from many people who've written all kinds of articles. There's a series of books. They're little little books and stories. They're called kernel books. And these books were written by Federationists. They're short stories, and they're little vignettes of people's lives. And they give a lot of insight into what happens to you when you lose vision and things that you encounter and ways of looking at life and people and situations. Alternative techniques is something that we talk about frequently. And I suppose a basic definition of that is doing what you want to do, but finding a new method for doing it, or maybe sometimes a partial method for doing what you want to do. So, for example, if you want to measure something, some people feel that they have to see what they're measuring, and yet the measuring cups are quite standard. So being able to put your measuring cup, if it's a dry substance, you can dip it into the container or and measure it until it's level, and you can level it off with a knife or some other implement. And if it's a liquid, you can also put it on a surface so that you won't, if you go over the top of the surface, your container will, your measuring cup will have a surface that it can pour the excess, so it won't go all over your countertop. But there are ways to feel and to touch things and to know how to measure. And so these are some of the simple things that we'll also talk about, not just technology items. But there are many ways of learning about your environment that you can do regardless of the vision you have or don't have. One of the other things that I do want to emphasize here is posture, that when you often lose vision, you want to turn your head and bend down or twist your body in some way to see something. And I think that's a very natural way to function. But the problem with it is that your body isn't in the normal position it would be to do the thing that you want to do. For example, you know, one of the first things people often tell us when we're working with them is that they can't dial the telephone. And what happens sometimes is as they lose vision, they want to put their head down to see the phone, the numbers on the phone. And when they do that, then their head covers the light and they can't see the numbers. So it becomes a challenge for them on how to determine what the numbers are. And yet each phone, the number pad, if we're using phones with number pads, then those telephones, the number one is always going to be on the top left corner of the pad and the two next to it to the right and the three to the right of that. So there are ways sometimes to think about what you're doing and can give you guidance. It's just sometimes getting the confidence to think through a solution and to carry it out and see if it works. And the other aspect of this retreat is somewhat that there are people who've thought of some of these techniques, and they're going to share them with you so that you don't have to invent everything yourself, that you can take some ideas. And the ideas that you think will work for you, try them out and see if they do work for you. You'll find that many times there's many different ways to do something, not just one way to do it, but several ways. And you may find two or three ways of doing something that after a time, depending on the situation that you're in, that you'll be able to choose which method is best for you. So when you have these choices on doing things, it really can give you some freedom back, because now when you encounter a situation, you will be able to think of a solution and say, okay, what would work right now for me? And be able to go carry something through to find out if you're able to do the thing that you want to do. Can I go visit my granddaughter, or can I walk to my mailbox, or whatever it might be? Some of you have a fair amount of vision right now, and you want to come to this retreat because you want to prepare yourself. And I think that's a wise thing. I don't know if anyone has ever prepared totally, but hearing from people how they live and what they're doing can be encouraging, it can be empowering, and it can take some of the fear away, so that as your vision changes, no matter how it changes, that you will have a little more confidence and not be maybe as fearful as you would be without having some solutions or some tools. We're going to talk a lot about this week about using the white cane. And I know one of the first things that people often say is, well, I don't really need that. And some people might not need the white cane. But as vision changes and as you learn about the white cane and what it can help you do, you may decide that using the cane in many instances could be helpful. And with practice, you might become skilled in using it. And the more skilled you become, the more useful the cane can be for you.
Susan.
Some people do wait until most of their vision is gone. And they can one can continue to learn at any time and at any stage of losing vision. But often what does happen is people become very fearful at this point. So part of their learning process, or much of their learning process, is somewhat impeded by their fear, and therefore they have to. We have to deal with fear first before we can actually learn something. Because you have to believe that you can do something and that some skills and techniques can work for you. Otherwise, you're caught up in fear and somewhat paralyzed with fear and not able to listen to directions or to hear what people are saying. So I hope that this week we're also recording our sessions so that if you hear some things now and you think, oh, this isn't for me right now, you will be able to go on our senior webpage. You'll be able to download some of the classes that you're hearing today, and maybe at a later date, some of them may make some sense to you, and they may help you at that stage and point in your life of dealing with your vision loss. What we hope is that people live successfully, do the things that you want to do, that you stay in charge of the things that you want to be in charge of, and that you know that you can learn new things at any age. All of us have to move forward. We all want to have good golden years, if you will, as good as we can have. And sometimes we're dealing with other issues besides vision loss. We may not be as mobile as we used to be, or we may have hearing loss as well. So there are not a set of rules or things that will work for everybody, but the more we can communicate with one another and learn from one another how to age gracefully, I guess there's no manual for it as far as I know, we can continue to do most of the things that we want to do in the way that we want to do them. And sharing our experiences with one another can give us some courage to continue and to remain active and vibrant and have the kind of lives we want. The slogan of the Federation is live the life you want, and we do mean that. You can grow, you can share, and we can work together to promote the well-being of all of us. So those are some thoughts I have on what the retreat can do, what we hope that it will do for you, and things maybe to think about as you hear people speaking and talking in different classes. Let's see, I need to check the time, I guess. I don't know how long I...
32.
Okay. So Judy, you're unmuted. Do you want to ask your question so that people can be thinking?
Yes, I do. I always love to ask a question.
Okay, all right, go do that.
All right. I'm Judy Sanders, and I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I, along with Glenn Crosby from Texas, are going to join you Friday afternoon for a session that we've entitled, What If? So as you learn things this week and start discovering things, whether blindness is new to you or whether you've been blind all your life but you're still figuring things out, by the way, join the club. I hope we always are. What we want to do with that last session on Friday afternoon is explore what if. And so what we'd like you to do is think of things that you hope that you're going to learn this week. You may discover some new things as you go through this process with your classes. And we're going to give you the chance to say, what if this happens? And then we're going to explore with you what we think you can do about it, whatever it may be. You may be able to come up with something that we have not thought of, and we'll get back on it. But I think someone there will have an answer. Now, in case you don't have scenarios for us that you want us to solve, Glenn and I have some that we will introduce to you, and it will be a chance for all of you to be involved in the discussion. The raising hand feature for the telephone is going to work really well for this, I hope, and we'll see what we do. One of the things that's going to happen with all the solutions that we come up with is that they will not involve vision, and I hope that what you will figure out during this week with everything that you learn is that the amount of vision you may have is going to be irrelevant for everything that we teach you. You can use these solutions whether you retain the vision you have, you lose more of it, maybe you lose all of it. We're going to make that okay. And then you will be able to incorporate the vision you have and make better use of it than ever before. But we're not going to have to show you that. You're going to know that yourself. So start thinking what you hope you want us to explore through our What If session, and we'll be ready to do that Friday afternoon.
Okay, that sounds like fun. That always happens, doesn't it? You say, what if I knew what to do? And when you're talking with other people, they can give you some ideas. I should have thought of that. Well, you didn't think of it because you were getting maybe in some stress for the situation that occurred, or maybe whatever, you never encountered the situation before. So that sounds like a fun session. So Friday afternoon, don't go away. You all need to be here for that one. Okay.
Now going back to mute land.
Okay. All right. And is Diane McGeorge here? We'll need to unmute Diane McGeorge if she's not unmuted, our host of the Zoom platform. Our Zoom host platform is Diane McGeorge.
Yeah, we've got two 303s, so I'm trying to...
4268 are the last numbers.
Okay, got it.
Okay,
we've asked to unmute. We will do it again. Diane, you'll have to press *6 in a relatively quick succession.
There we are.
Oh, that's good. Just to remind to folks, because I didn't know this myself, but *6, when you press it, you have to press them fairly quickly.
Yes.
You know, *1 and then *6. If you pause, it doesn't always work.
That's for sure. Anyway.
So some of you are going to know Diane because she's our door prize lady at the conventions, but she's meant much more than that. In our division, she is our treasurer, but she is a very longtime Federationist. She started the Colorado Center for the Blind. She's a grandmother, and she's done just about everything anybody could do in the Federation and otherwise. So here is Diane McGeorge.
Well, Ruth, thank you. That's a pretty illustrious introduction. Very much. I have so many wonderful friends in NFB, and because I have been in it a good number of years. And the other reason I think I have a lot of good friends is because I love people. I like all people, you know? Anyway, I am going to be covering a variety of things. I think the agenda is organizational skills, and that covers all kinds of things. Organizing your life, which sounds kind of overwhelming, but doing that one piece at a time or two pieces at a time. And I don't really think I'm an expert in organizing, but I certainly love to learn new things about being organized. I'm just going to say this one thing as an example. You make a grocery list, okay? Now, how are you going to make it? Well, lots of people I know who are losing sight, they say, well, I just write it. I can still write. I can still write legibly. Whether it's legible or not, I don't know, but that's what they tell me. I can still write. I said, but can you read it after you write it? Can you then go back and say, oh, did I put flour on there? I better take a look and see if I did. So one of my key things that I'll be saying a lot of, be sure that you are in charge of doing the things you want to do, and then be sure that you know how to go back and make it useful to you. This may sound strange, but I have known some people who take printed or type, well, nobody types it anymore, computer-generated grocery list in the store and just hand it to the whoever assisting you. I hope you all do know that at least in many places, you can always find somebody to assist you in the grocery store. It may be a checker. It may be a stocker. I love to get a stocker because then they know where things are. And so I say, okay, you have three things on this list. You have macaroni. You have a package of noodles. Those are two pasta things. And then you think, I better get a bag of beans. It's cold here in Denver today. So I'm thinking about things I'm going to be cooking this week that are nice and winter food. And one of my favorites is ham and beans. Okay, so you hand this list. Well, of course, you can tell by the feel in the package of the noodles and the spaghetti. If spaghetti is long, noodles are flat. Then you get to the can of beans. How do you know what size can of beans?
Now, maybe you're really smart and you know I want a 16 outside, or I want an 8 outside, or just as an example. So one of the things I tell people is when you're at the grocery store, be sure you get your hands on whatever your helper is just leisurely putting in your grocery cart. I've made a mistake after telling you all of these things, and here I am in charge of organizational skills. Tell you the dumbest thing I did the other day. I wanted some cans of V8 juice, and so I just said V8. Well, you know, I did not emphasize that she put in my cart, and I came home with 16 ounces. So I have lots of V8 juice. That's okay. It's good for me. But I guess I tell you this to tell you that no matter how long you are blind and looking after yourself, looking after your family, sometimes we get a little sloppy. And we don't always check those things out. So those and many other kinds of things. I also want to be led by the group. I want to know what do you have problems organizing? Of course, I've got some ideas up front, but I love to have an interactive session. That's where I think people really learn. So I think I've taken up enough time for you, Ruth. But anyway, thanks for calling on me. I'm really looking forward so much this week. I think it's going to be very enlightening for the instructors as well as for the participants, the students. Thanks.
Okay. So, and one of the things we're going to talk about too again is when we use the word blind is that sometimes most people want to know how much you can see. And you end up spending time trying to tell them what you can see, but you don't always know because you don't know sometimes what you cannot see. So if we just say that we're blind, it kind of can make that conversation be a lot less important. Because if we're asking for assistance, for example, in a grocery store, we can get assistance from we can go to customer service and ask for someone to shop with us. And not just in a grocery store, you can go to other stores also and ask for customer assistance. If you want to buy a winter coat or something like that, and you want someone to give you information about the kind of material the coat is made of and the color and the size or whatever else you want to know. You want it with a hood. You don't want it with a hood. There are many times you can get services that you may not think are available, but they are. Sometimes stores prefer if you call them in advance so that they will have someone there to help you, guide you through what they have. But many times people are more than happy to shop with you and know what you have in the store. I would go to one store and the lady said, "My name is Linda and I'm in the bakery. Ask for me all the time." She wanted to get out of the bakery. She wanted to walk around the store with me. She didn't want to stay at the bakery all the time. And she knew the store very well. So sometimes you can cultivate friendships with people who do know the store and can give you information on new items or things that the store has that are maybe new to you, new product and so forth, or different sizes of products and so forth. What really all are there some things in the freezer section that are new that are coming out that you might want to try that you didn't know whether the store carried them? So there can be other information that you want to know too. They can't read you maybe every label in the store, but they can tell you expiration dates, especially on meats and dairy products and so forth, that there's some information that you want to know. So saying that we're blind sometimes just answers the question quickly and efficiently, and then you can go on to the things that are really important to you that you really want to do in the store. So if you want information or you're in a pharmacy and you want, sometimes you know exactly what you want, things that are familiar to you, or maybe you want to know on a generic sense about some products, and then you want to price things to know what might be the best price that you might be interested in or trying something new. So depending upon what you want to do with your shopping needs and so forth. Also, you know, in restaurants, sometimes they're posting the menu up on the wall, or at least the daily specials, or they put them in the front of the store as you walk in, today's special is. And if you sit down in the store or in the restaurant, they may not tell you that. So, sort of being aware of the information that's available and how to tap into it by asking what's the special today, can be a way that you get the information that you want. whether you can read the board or not, or whether they have even a board put up. Some servers are better than others at telling you what the specials are. But knowing that you have ways of communicating with people to get information that you want that's useful to you is really the end game for you to determine what you do with that information and how much of the information you want. One of the things I do want to spend a little bit of time on here is going to doctor's offices today, because it is different, partly with COVID and partly the medical staff. Often if you're especially seeing a doctor that's new to you, they have a lot of paperwork that you have to fill out. And many times it's assumed that you've got somebody there with you, and you may be fortunate that you do have someone, but a lot of us don't necessarily maybe have someone who accompany us to the doctor. And therefore, we have all this information they want to know about our past history, et cetera. Even if it's on a computer, not all computer sites are accessible. Many of the health sites are not, and that is challenging, whether they give you the physical paperwork to do or a computer site to go to. And of course, we may not know that the computer site is not accessible, because until we go and try and use it, we may not know that what it is. There are, and you'll find out about some of the technologies, but there are some technologies where you could, if you have an iPhone, scan information into the iPhone, and then it can be read. So sometimes for some small, not large paperwork things, but for at least knowing what's on the forms, you can have some more tools for the information that's needed. Sometimes you may have to also ask your physician, I need assistance filling this form out. And, their first impulse sometimes is to have another person in the waiting room help you. You don't want somebody in the waiting room filling out your personal information. And you have the right to say to them, I need one of your medical assistants to assist me filling out this paperwork. And they can do that. You may have to be a little firm with them sometimes, and it's because they're not really thinking very clearly. So you can put it to them in sort of a question, well, would you like it if I was a doctor and I had to come to you and fill out personal information, that I would have another person in the waiting room, just because they can see, fill out your information? And they go, oh, yes, okay, we just didn't think of it. And that a lot of times is their answer, I didn't think of it. So our job, in a way, is really, truly to educate other people about our needs. And the more comfortable we are in doing that, the better service we will get. We will help other people learn, and we'll get what we want in a more positive way. It can be challenging sometimes, because sometimes we're asking them to do something that they aren't as prepared to do. And we'll find that out maybe this election season as well. There's many ways that we can vote. We can vote electronically. In each state, states are different, but the methods are still electronic going to the polls, electronic absentee ballots or paper ballots at the poll, or paper ballots, absentee ballots that are mailed in. And depending upon our situation, it may vary on our state is doing and what we feel comfortable in doing. But we do have the right to have privacy in voting. So even if you were to go to the polls and need assistance, that should be available to you. Now, this season, I don't know what will happen, because I think it seems that the polling places are fewer, at least in my state. They're reduced greatly, and I don't know how they have planned for people to be assisted in the polling. But that doesn't mean that we should just, not get the services that we need. It may mean that we have to be more persistent in asking for assistance and getting the kind of assistance that will be helpful to us. So I hope that everybody can do that. If you are voting by yourself, or voting in a way that you can get the kind of assistance that will help you. So that's one aspect of speaking up for yourself and finding what's available and how to use different technologies. Not all of them are going to be accessible. Many of them are not. We will talk during the week in our technology class about some applications that are accessible and that can be used and many people find very helpful. So we'll learn at least how to be more efficient with some of the newer technologies that are available to us. Some of the other questions that I think people often have are, you were an active person, you did many different things, you were active in your community, maybe in your church group, maybe with other groups, you're maybe retired or with people, maybe you were taking care of your grandchildren, and now that you're losing vision, people, including your family members, sometimes are very hesitant to have you continue some of those activities. And they are because they really don't know what you can do. And part of the dilemma for you is that maybe you're not so sure what you can do or can't do either. So another way of looking at the retreat is hopefully that we can give you some ideas about how you can go about doing these things that you want to do. How can you watch your grandchildren and know what they're doing? Well, you can communicate with them by, talking with them and telling them a lot of times that children understand many things. And if you can be firm with them and tell them what you need and how they can really be helpful to you, most children want to do that. They love you. They want to help you. They don't know how to help you, so you have to give them some direction and some guidance. Now, that doesn't mean you necessarily always rely on the child, but it does mean that you can be with the children and ask them questions that may give you information that's helpful to you. So we find that the more we interact with blind people, the more information that we can get from one another, and therefore we find that people are doing things we might have thought we couldn't do. So I am a mother, and I have three children. They're grown now, and I have two grandchildren. I don't see them very often because they were living overseas abroad. They're now back in the U.S., but they're on the other side of the country from me, and since the pandemic, I haven't been able to see them. But, learning, I think, how to be comfortable in asking questions and in not worrying whether you can see something or not, I think that's another worry we often have is that if I can't see it, I can't do it. And I hope that you'll think as you go through this retreat, as Judy said, that this is an opportunity to think about, well, whether I can see or not, I can find some ways to do things. And maybe I need to be a little more verbal and ask questions that can be helpful to me. Maybe I also am going to listen for information. I'm going to repeat information that I get to make sure that I'm understanding it correctly. So there are things that maybe, you haven't gotten in the habit of doing because before you could just see things around you and know what was happening. And now you have to slow down a little bit and think about finding out information that I used to have visually that now maybe I don't have as much. And you might find that it can be very pleasant doing some things that you might have found less enjoyable. So, for example, we have talked about shopping or so forth, or going to a restaurant. A lot of times you can ask, especially if it's a boutique or a small store, you walk in and you say, oh, it's, this store is... I notice different smells of things, so I might be interested in saying, I'm smelling something, I can't define what it is, and describe it a little bit, and they'll tell me, oh, that's what it is. And I say, what kind of a store is this? And I'm asking the person behind the counter, and they're happy to have somebody to come in their store and actually talk to them, because two-thirds of the people come into their store, look around, and walk out again and don't say anything. So sometimes you can make a very pleasant experience for yourself by just interacting with other people in a new way. If you're in situations where you have to ask information on you're in a doctor's office or in a hospital or in some big building, and you might have to ask more directions. The elevator, where is the elevator? Well, normally it's not too far from the entryway, but that's not always the truth. Sometimes it's way down the hall someplace. And so getting information from people, and sometimes people will walk with you, which is fine. That's another way to get to where you want to go. But you can start a conversation, and that's our opportunity, again, to educate people and to teach people on how we're doing things and letting them know what works for us. It can be a pleasant exchange. So something as mundane as just going to a doctor's appointment and getting into the doctor's office can be a more pleasant experience if you're interacting with people than just, you know, walking in and sitting down and doing what you might have normally done non-verbally. So those are maybe some aspects of thinking about living with low vision that can be thought of in a different way, that your interactions may be quite different than they used to be, and they can be enjoyable too. Sometimes they're not so enjoyable. People can be, you know, brusque or in a hurry or other things. So, but that would happen whether we're blind or not. There are people who are more willing and other people who are less willing to be in a verbal conversation with people around them. So, but most people want to be helpful, and they want to interact and are happier. And one of the things I'm hearing from people is, sighted people, is that with the masks now, people are feeling uncomfortable in a way they never did before because they can't see people smiling because they have the masks on. So there, I think in general, the country may be changing a little bit how people are verbally interacting just because of that fact. People can see eyes, but they can't, they're not as comfortable because the face mask does cover part of the face. So I think this is going to be an interesting phenomena that we're living in right now with pandemic for many reasons. And it's going to teach all of us some things that will be new and challenging that we may not have thought of in the same way as we did before. So it can be a benefit too. So I guess what I'm hoping is that you'll see that your vision loss doesn't have to be such a negative event. It is momentous. I do understand that. I think we all, the teachers who are teaching, understand how momentous living with vision loss can be, but it can be positive too. It can open doors of friendship. It can open avenues of things and a way of thinking that may be new to some people. So I hope that it is. I have a little after 5, so I said this session could go till 5:30. So I guess, Michael, we could entertain some questions if people have them.
Okay, so folks, to do that, you will have to raise your hand. You cannot auto-unmute, so you'll have to press *9 to raise your hand. Or if you're on a computer, that'll be Alt-Y. There's one coming up, and Abby can get that if you're here. And, of course, if you're on the iPhone, you'll have to go into the Participants button and double-tap the raise hand in there. But we got a few here. Okay, we'll start with 970. We've asked to unmute. Hey, go ahead.
Hello, I'm calling from Colorado, and I really appreciate this program, even though I've been kind of dealing with vision loss for a good number of years. It's just like getting a nice visit with family and people you can talk to, and I really do appreciate it. My question is this. I was told originally when I signed up for the retreat that we should not give out the code numbers to people who had not paid the $50. And somebody recently told me that it was all right to bring other people along if they wanted to. And I just wondered how you're handling that now.
Okay. Well, we do think since you people have paid $50 for your and showed your interest and your time, because it's your time that you're also giving us, that you should not give the code out to people. We are recording the sessions, so at some point down the road, they will be on our website, so people will have access to them who have not paid. But we think that's the best way to do it. And also, if the group is the size that it is, it's manageable here so that you can actually ask your questions and have it a more interactive sessions for yourself.
Okay. So in other words, I was thinking I had a friend who had not signed up, and I was thinking I could bring him along with a three-way call. But I got saying that you'd prefer we didn't do that.
I'd prefer that you didn't do that. Yes.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
And you can share them, you know, with what you learned from it. If this is successful, right, we can have another one, and then that person will have that opportunity, too, to get on that in the next retreat. Retreats are something where you do concentrate on something, on subject, whatever the subject is, and we want it to be as beneficial for those of you who have signed up as possible. Okay, I think I answered that one. Is that good?
There were two others. Okay. There was a 470. Okay. There was a 303. I asked two different people to unmute, but
okay.
I'll try again. The 470 and the 303.
I think the 470 did unmute.
And that was 970.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to be quiet because I don't know. All right.
The 373. Again, you have to hit star 6, and you have to type it pretty quickly. Once you hit star, you have to hit there. Okay. Okay, you're unmuted, I think. 303?
Yes.
You had a question?
June A. Mason?
Yes. Okay, June. Okay.
June A. Mason. Oh, okay. From Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I did pay my $50 fee for the first with a senior retreat.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first senior retreat as a totally blind person.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blind from birth all my life, from childhood to adulthood, and I'm still blind. But I am an optimistic, thrivable person as a Federation, wanting to thrive forward emancipatively and doing things for myself as a sight person, or as a person in general.
Well, good for you. And we're glad that you joined us, and you can share some of your insights with your colleagues here.
Yes, right. Also, I live in a senior living, independent living center, not an assistive living, not ever. And I hope I never will go that far. And yes, there are things that I can do for myself, such as cook and a little cleaning. I do have some assistance, but things that I can't do.
Well, good. I'm glad that you've joined us, June. So, and the retreat is for anyone who wants to continue to learn, right? Because I think if you learn, you're living. Once we decide that we know everything or we've learned and we can't learn anymore, then I think we stop living in some ways. So we want to learn every day something new, so that we remain vibrant and active, and we contribute to the society and the people we love around us. Is there another question?
Yep, 470.
Okay.
470.
They're unmuted.
Yeah, they are unmuted. Okay, we'll try another one. 720, send a request to unmute, press star 6. Okay, go ahead.
This is Carol Wright. I'm from Colorado. And I'm elderly, or as I think you called now, elderhood. I am just at the point that I'm totally losing my sight.
Mm-hmm.
And as that your previous caller, I'm very optimistic. But it's such a different world if you've always been sighted and you've done so much, and then all of a sudden, how do I function? And I am fortunate. I live in a condominium, or actually a homeowner's group of about 116 units, and my neighbors have been fabulous, you know, because they've seen my ego progressively lose sight and see me stumbling along trying to figure out how to use my cane properly. I only congratulate you, because this is such a new world for people who have always had good sight, and then suddenly, what do I do now?
Right.
So
And it is a challenge. I mean, I don't mind to minimize it to say that it isn't. It is. It's the most, probably one of the most challenging things a person can have happen to them. But I guess, first of all, you're part of the National Federation of the Blind, so that's a good place to start, you know, because it's, the Federation is a Federation family of positive people who are looking for responses to living with vision loss, and there are people who can support you, who can help you, and who can guide you. So, you're right. It is a momentous thing in a person's life. There's no getting around that. But I think if you can connect with other people like you are now doing, that you'll have more of a support and a cushion, and just feeling better about yourself. Because once you feel better about yourself, then I think you'll be more inclined to move forward and to try and do some things, you know, to remain independent. It's when we stay closed and frightened in our homes or wherever we live that we're not able to move forward. And, you know, and sometimes what happens too is because we're elderly and our families and friends are getting older too. So sometimes we depend upon a spouse, and then that situation is precarious because our spouse has health issues and we end up taking care of the spouse, or or, you know, there's just lots of things that happen. So the more that we can educate ourselves on what our possibilities are and try things, I think we can give ourselves some comfort in going through what you say elderhood, but that's what it is. And we don't know what that means. Each of us is on that path of seniorhood. And so, and those of us who aren't seniors, you aspire to be seniors, right? Everybody wants to be a senior. And we want to live long enough to be seniors and to discover what we can do with our lives, with the life that we have left, the years that we have left.
Okay, Robert Wilkerson.
Yes, sir. How's it going? It's Robert Wilkerson calling from Sandia Park, New Mexico. I just wanted to introduce myself and thank you all for letting me be a part of this. Wayne Marshall invited me for this. I'm also a NOMC. I did my internship at the Colorado Center for the Blind back in 2013, but I got my training at Louisiana Center for the Blind.
Well, we're delighted to have you.
Yes, ma'am. It's a blessing just to be on here, and it's just a blessing to be on here and be able to, you know, rub elbows with all the I'm a super federationist who's been around for a long time, you know. So, and you asked the question, do I want to get old? Yes, I want to at least be 100 years old when
I'm
here.
Sure you do. Sure you do. We want to, you know.
But while we here, don't nothing get old but clothes. We can buy some more of them. So don't never just say you're old. Just say you're getting better.
That's
not getting old.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Wayne also asked me to do a presentation on Wednesday as well. So I'm going to be a part of this all week. And like I said, it's just a blessing to be able to, you know, be a part of this, because it's my first time, you know, being a part of the senior retreat and stuff. So hopefully it's not my last. So, you know.
I hope not. We're delighted that you're with us.
Yes, ma'am. Like I say, I'm glad to be
us.
Here.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. And yeah, I'm going to be popping in all week. So
good.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Looks like we got a few.
Okay.
Sharon, asked to unmute.
How about now?
Oh, we hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to wonder, I looked at the schedule. Can I drop in on some of the cane travel if I'm here and can do it? I wasn't
scheduled
for that.
Right. Yes. Okay. So when you paid your money or what, you know, what you can go to all of the classes.
Okay.
All right. No matter what you signed up for. I mean, the only class that we really did need to have information about was the Braille class, so that we could get Braille people out. I mean, we wanted to know what people were interested in, but if you didn't sign up for something, and you want to, you know, be a part of it, by all means do that. Yes.
Thank you.
Because
thank
the retreat is for you. What do you think will benefit you? And so, yes, by all means.
Yeah, I like to hear different things, because I took the Hadley On the Move and the Great Outdoors, and it was fascinating. So I love to hear all the different things. And I'm an NFB person, so I have my long white cane too, and other canes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, one more time, we'll try the 470. They are unmuted from this end at 470.
Hello, this is Les, 470.
Yes, Les, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were doing the last four digits. I apologize.
Oh, no problem.
I've been listening. I'm 72. I've been sight impaired all my life. 17 years ago, I went blind. And for 6 months, I felt sorry for myself. I used to be a mechanic. I used to build homes and stuff. I had a customer call me up and say, Les, can you put a toilet in for me? I says, he goes, yeah, so what's your problem? When are you going to get over here and do it? I says, I told you, I'm blind. I can't. She goes, I don't want no excuses. I'm coming to pick you up. I got the toilet. And you and I are going to work. She brought me back to reality. And then I met another woman named Jane DeGense. What an awesome woman. And after talking and working with her for years, my motto is now. There is life after blindness. Enjoy it. And I can tell you stories of how Jane got through a lot of hard times. And the first time I met her, she was teaching me at the Newark Library in New Jersey how to use JAWS on a computer. And she said to me, Les, would you like to come to an NFB meeting? I said, no, thank you. I don't want to be around a bunch of crybabies and I feel sorry for myself. I got enough of my own. She says, if you come, I guarantee you we ain't going to be that. And I went, and guess what?
You're still going.
No, felt sorry for themselves.
Right. I think a lot of people have that story, yes. We all can identify with that. Yeah, I'm sure many of us can, that you're right, you know, and you find out that really people empower each other. So Jane was your role model, and I'm sure many of us have different role models. So that's a great story, Les. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Yeah.
Are there any other 732. 732.
I'm Ada Crandall, calling from New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
I started losing my sight about 13 years ago. I'll make this short. And one of the best things that came into my life was two women. One is Janie Deckenshine. I love her to death. And the other one is Linda Melendez.
Uh-huh.
Linda Melendez talked me, and somebody told me to call her several years back. I forgot what about. When I called her, she says, are you going to the NSB State Convention? I says, no, I have no desire to go. She says, well, what I want you to do is get a room in case you decide. She said, just get the room. If you decide, come. I went that year. I saw people who were losing sight, people who were living good lives and everything. And I can tell, my testimony is, one of the best things that happened to me was getting acquainted with the NSB and people who were going through the same thing I was going through, because it was so much positive energy around, and it was just such a blessing. And I've gotten through my journey because of good people, good people. A woman by the name of Jerry McGinty. I mean, I've met so many good people who have just encouraged me. And that's
right.
What the NSB is all about. We all
it is.
Other, and we all help each other get through.
I think you're right, Ada, so thank you so much. I think that's true. And I think part of it is, you know, we do say in the National Federation of the Blind, and sometimes it's hard for us to think that we're blind because we can see. So that was kind of my, you know, introductory here a little bit, is that we can get kind of caught up in that idea sometimes when the vision we have or don't have isn't really as significant as we like to think that it can be. What's important is that we really meet people and learn from each other and find out how to really live, no matter what our vision is, because our vision isn't going to be what it is today, what it's going to be next year or 2 years or five years down the road, or, you know, maybe we can't walk as good either, or maybe we can't hear as good either, whatever it might be. As we age, it is a journey, and we're all still on that journey, but we want to be on the journey.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Ada.
Okay, I think we have no other raised hands here.
Okay. 521 I've got, so okay. So tomorrow, I just want to remind people that we will start tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, 10 Mountain. There are some Mountain folks, and 9 Pacific, and there are some Pacific folks, too. We're delighted that you're here. And we will start with cane travel, and that's going to be a really good class. We hope that you have a cane, but even if you do not have a cane, please join in and listen, because there'll be information that you will find helpful and useful. And if you don't have a cane, you may be persuaded that it might be something that you do want to get. You can get free canes from the National Federation of the Blind, so there, we'll tell you about that tomorrow. So I hope that you stay tuned during the week. I hope this was a good start for everybody, and keep those thinking caps on for Judy's What If session, which will be Friday. So
we do have one more, Linda.
If you want to, okay.
Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, hi. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just was wondering, I was listening to several people talk about, you know, having questions and things. I've been totally blind about 2 years now, and I still have a lot of things that I don't know how to do or how to get done or where to get. And I'm just wondering, how long does the typical adjustment process take for people?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't mean to evade your answer, but it depends on what type of interaction and training they get as they, you know, begin to lose vision. Again, a lot of times people wait, or they're, you know, they don't have it available. I mean, senior services are, like I said, very spotty and not necessarily very useful to seniors as you lose vision. So many times people don't get much in the way of services from their state agencies and other people that they could have, especially if they don't know about the National Federation of the Blind. And we're looking for people all of the time, but sometimes we don't find people until they become totally blind or almost totally blind. So it really depends on how you're introduced and what you're introduced to, you know, as far as blindness and, you know, the techniques and skills and the people that can help you as well. And I do think the medical profession often feels that we've got some fairy godmother sitting around who's going to help us do everything, because they could point people in the direction much sooner than they do. Now, there's a few states where if you are declared legally blind, they do have to report you to their state agency for services. But most states don't have that requirement, and the medical people don't do that in a way that they could or should. And I mean, even people, I have talked to people who work in dialysis centers, and they say, oh, John can see, he just can't find the door. And I'm, wait a minute. If John can't find the door, he can't find the door because he can't see. I mean, he may have some vision, but they don't consider him blind, and that's our word blind again, because many people think you have to be totally blind to be blind, and that's not the case. If you have 10% of your vision, that's still a fair amount of vision, but there's no way with 10% of your vision you can do what a sighted person could do with 100% vision or even 80% vision. So I think this is still our issue of the terminology of blind and what it means, and when people need sooner interaction by medical people and other professionals to help people get the services they need sooner. You don't have to wait until you lose it all before you get some help. I think your point is a very valid one. So the people who get that service are helped much sooner, and I don't know, it depends on the person. Some people lose their vision so gradually that they spend a whole lifetime adjusting to their vision loss. And it depends on if they're positive or not. And some people, you know, really do struggle emotionally with their vision loss because, for a lot of reasons. I think all people do, but for some people, they can master their fears and other people maybe cannot as easily. So I don't know that there's a typical, you know, time frame, because I really think it depends so much on the help and services you get and how positive the people who are delivering it are to you. I mean, if someone says to you, well, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you can't, then you're really stuck, because they're helping you, but they're telling you can't. And that's not going to help you get into the can cycle. I can do. So all of these factors, I think, make a difference in the kind of outcomes that are possible, you know, that happen to people. So we try very hard to find people and give them that encouragement and that help.
Okay, we have one more. I guess that'll be our final question. Vince from New Jersey.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Vincent Delors, and I joined the Federation just a few months ago. I consider myself very lucky because I found the Federation by sheer coincidence. The mention about not finding the door, I actually found the door. I was in Miami at a hotel, and I walked into a door that I thought was my meeting, and it actually happened to be the training room on the night before the game of the Miami Dolphins. And people were not very happy to see me there. Of course, I couldn't see much of anything that was going around in there. But attending a convention in November last year in Houston, I always participate in a walk, and they directed me to one of the people in charge so they could provide some kind of assistance during the walk at 6 in the morning. It was a 5K walk. I'm totally blind in one eye, and I can still see the letter E under certain light conditions. But nevertheless, I went, the person that, that I saw there was vice president of operations at the convention center in Houston. And, he said, you know, if we cannot find somebody to walk with you, I was using a cane by then. I had purchased a cane because I had walked into too many doors and fallen into too many holes. And, I found somebody that walked with me that day, and he mentioned, you know, there is an organization, the National Federation of Blind. In fact, they're having a convention next year in Houston, and perhaps you should, you know, check with them. And as a result of that communication, I made a few phone calls. Talked to a gentleman called Ernest Hemingway, also known as Joe Ruffalo.
Yeah.
And
so that's good. We're glad that you found the Federation. Yeah. That's a good thing. So it depends, but I do think it depends upon when and how people find us. And, you know, so I'm glad that you have found us. I'm glad that you're with us this week, and I hope that you'll find, I think, especially with cane travel, you'll hear a lot of good, helpful information that will help you use that cane in a better way, so that you know that you can start. You don't always have to wait for someone to show you how to do something. That's another thing, I think, because sometimes if we wait for the state agencies to help us and show us things, we wait forever. So this retreat hopefully will help people venture forth and try some things and not wait for state agencies to come along, because they may not be there, or they may not be there in the amount of, you know, help and information and knowledge that you want them to be, to help you really regain your independence and have the life that you want to have. So I want to thank our Zoom host, co-host, and so forth this week. Thank you so much, Mike and Abby. And I want to thank all of you for joining us for this first session. I hope that you will join us tomorrow at the times that I just mentioned. So tomorrow we will have cane travel. After that, we will have hobbies. And Ellen Ringline will be speaking. She is the independence market manager, and she's going to talk about the National Federation of the Blind and some things that they have, and there'll be other people on that call as well. We'll then have a break. We will go to technology, and we'll have our evening session. So I think it will be a busy and productive day, and I look forward to hearing your comments and your questions and sharing the week with you. So thank you, and have a wonderful evening. And we'll see you all tomorrow.